So tonight we're looking at the second half of Joshua chapter 1. And so we're going to look at verses 9 through 18 tonight. And I just have, you know, something very simple to share. And so it's good that Denise has got us down to like 20 minutes because I was like, well, there's just really just a simple principle, I think, in this passage here. So hopefully I can keep myself roped in here. Okay, it's 7:20. All right. Let's go ahead and read the whole section and then we'll go back through here. Starting in verse 9 of chapter 1 in Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, 'Prepare for provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess.' And to the Reubenites, Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, 'Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise.' So they answered Joshua, saying, 'All that you command us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so will we heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage.'" Okay. Now, I think the tendency here would be to just camp out on verse 9, because that's the one that's the most familiar. We all know that verse. Well, maybe not all, but many of us know that verse. You might even have it up on a little plaque in your house or something like that, right? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. That's one that we could spend a lot of time unpacking, right? But I actually want to zoom out and look at the whole section here. And so what I see in this passage just in general is something really simple, just the vital importance of spiritual encouragement in our lives. That's all I really wanted to, you know, hit on here tonight, is the importance of spiritual encouragement in general. And verse 9 is just one example of this. And so for those of you who thought I was just going to do verse 9 hardcore, sorry to disappoint you. You'll just have to let the Holy Spirit show you stuff. So I think he's a little better than me. All right, so there's three instances in which we see spiritual encouragement happen in this passage. And of course, the first one is verse 9, actually. And that's definitely the most important one, because in verse 9 here, we see that God is encouraging Joshua. Like he says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong. The Lord your God is with you. I am with you wherever you go." So, and God is kind of saying this at the end of a larger exhortation, which you covered last week in verses 1 through 8, right? There's a bigger exhortation that God gave to Joshua, and he caps it off here in verse 9. This is God's word to him just before he goes to lead the Israelites into the promised land. This is like his last pep talk from God. Now, we don't know where Joshua was when God spoke to him, but it would seem, and I think this is important, you'll see why in a little bit here, I think it's important that this was probably a private interaction between him and God. This is something, you know, this is just Joshua and God having time together, and God's giving him the final exhortation, the final word that Joshua's going to need before he goes into the promised land. And this was essential. Joshua needed this. I'm glad we start chapter 1 with God speaking to Joshua and God encouraging Joshua, because that shows how much we need that as well. This is absolutely critical in our lives. To have that one-on-one, that time with the Lord. Again, this is very basic and simple, but it's something that we probably can't emphasize enough. And we don't just need this for major events and decisions like Joshua had. Sure, he really needed to have this time with God, have a, you know, just some some FaceTime with the Lord here. He really needed that because this was a major undertaking he was about to, you know, pursue. But we need this not just for major events and decisions, but for everything in our lives. And I was thinking about this a little bit earlier. I'm like, man, you know, life's a battle, right? And not just because we're Christians, non-Christians, every person on this planet is going to have some kind of trial, difficulty. We're all going to be in a battle in this life. Life is not easy. There's some great sunshiny moments, of course, but life generally isn't easy. And it's not just a physical, you know, physically difficult. It's not just a physical battle that we're in, but it's a spiritual battle that we're in. And, you know, yeah, Christians and non-Christians both face difficulties. But for the Christian, I think we probably understand and feel the spiritual side of that battle a lot more, right? We're definitely more aware of that realm as believers. And so that kind of intensifies the battle even more for us. And so we are in need. And then, again, that's not just speaking of in major situations or major decisions we have to make or trials or whatever, but just generally in life, we see the intensity, we feel and experience the intensity on a daily basis. And so we are in need of continual spiritual encouragement from the Lord. We need to know his presence with us no matter what, that that's not going to change from one moment to the next. And so where are we going to go to get this kind of encouragement? Well, it's very simple. In moments just like Joshua had here, in moments of solitude with the Lord, this is what we need more than anything. And so again, what a great way to start the book of Joshua off with God and Joshua spending time together. This is what we need more than anything else. And you know, encouragement from other people is great. We'll talk about that too. Of course, we want, you know, sometimes we look for that because we just want that quick word from somebody that's physically right in front of us. But you know, receiving just real deep, lasting spiritual encouragement, the very best place we can get that is from the Lord. And that's the most lasting, isn't it? Is when it's coming from God. That's what we find when we spend time alone with him. I was actually reminded, not surprisingly, ladies, of a missionary. You knew this was coming. So this actually reminded me of David Brainerd. I don't know if I've talked about him before. David Brainerd was a missionary to the American Indians, a very early pioneer missionary in the early 1700s. And here was a guy who had a very difficult life. He died at age 29 of tuberculosis after pretty much sacrificing himself, living out in the rugged New England wilderness in order to bring the gospel to the tribes that were in that area. He ended up ministering to three different tribes around, like in New Jersey and, you know, New York and different areas of the frontier. And so physically speaking, you know, he was always pretty frail and weak. Life was often very challenging for him, to say the least. Pain, illness, discouragement, those were a part of his life on a regular basis. And you know, ministry wasn't always easy. You know, he had a really hard time learning the Indian dialects and stuff like that. So a lot of challenges this guy faced. So what kept him going? How did he carry on? Well, it was pretty much just based on the spiritual encouragement that he received from the Lord. He really had to press into God. And you see this because Brainerd was one of those guys who kept a pretty lengthy journal. We don't have this window into every single, you know, Christian great in history. But with David Brainerd, we have like a recording of his journal, documented his journals from the majority of his adult life. And you get a window there into seeing the fact that he looked to the Lord for that spiritual encouragement constantly. That's the only thing that really kept him going in a very, very difficult situation and circumstance. In fact, at one point, I went through and I was reading some of the stuff from his journals, and this one stood out to me. This is something he wrote in his journal during a season of illness. He actually had measles at this point. It's like, geez, it's always one thing or another. But in the midst of that, here's what he wrote. He said, "In prayer, I found such unspeakable sweetness and delight in God that I wanted always to be there, to behold God's glory. My soul dearly loved all mankind and longed exceedingly that they should enjoy what I enjoyed. Oh, 1 hour with God infinitely exceeds all the pleasures of this lower world." Okay, he's saying this in the midst of severe illness. Measles back then, I mean, that could have been a death sentence right there. So his health was always tottering on the brink there. And yet here he is experiencing such sweetness in his relationship with God. And that is just like a constant that you see throughout his journals. Not only that, but like I said, his journals were preserved and kept for posterity, and his writings actually powerfully inspired many Christian men and women of the faith for generations beyond his lifetime. They were encouraged by reading about the encouragement that he received from his time with God. That's really all his journals, most of his journals, what they are. It's his prayer life, and you just experience and can kind of dive in with him into the encouragement that the Lord gave him through some pretty gnarly things. and how that in turn, like I said, influenced and impacted and inspired other men and women. Another great missionary, Henry Martin, who also died young like Brainerd, but spent his life, you know, bringing the gospel and to India and translating the Bible into Persian. So, I mean, these people, it's just really cool to see how the encouragement that comes from God alone can have so much impact. And again, that is the most influential encouragement in our lives. And there's one other thing I want to note about God's encouragement here to Joshua, that this wasn't the first time Joshua was told to be strong and of good courage. In fact, this is a pretty common thought that we see woven throughout the book of Joshua. But even before that, Joshua was told to be strong and of good courage by Moses. Back when Moses was preparing to pass the baton to him as the new leader of Israel, he gave Joshua many instructions and a lot of reminders. And in Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8, which is just a few pages back from Joshua chapter 1, here's what Moses said to Joshua. It says, I don't know where I'm going there. Wow, okay. It's the heat. It has to be. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. So interesting, here now in Joshua, when God is officially sending him out in chapter 1, God used almost the exact same words that Moses had used. And I don't think that was an accident. I think God knew Joshua needed this repeated, right? We know this with everything that's repeated in the Bible. It's usually repeated for emphasis and for a reason. You know, God just doesn't, you know, forget what he wrote before and write the same thing and repeat himself like, oh, whoops, I already said that. You know, I mean, God doesn't make mistakes like that, right? There's purpose in everything he says in his word. So if, you know, Moses said this to Joshua, God knew he needed to hear it again to be strong and of good courage. And so I don't know about you, but if something is repeated to me almost word to word, I pay attention. You know, I've had that happen before where God's spoken something to me, somebody else will say something and you're just like, whoa, wait a minute. That was almost exactly right. Has anyone had that happen? Hopefully. If you haven't, I hope you do have that experience with the Lord. It's exciting. And I think, you know, for me, if I was in Joshua's position, that would let me know that something supernatural was going on here. You know, that, wow, this isn't just, you know, I'm not just hearing things. This isn't just some weird, like, I'm me just trying to be this, you know, take over and lead these people. No, God is really speaking. And, you know, I'm seeing it reiterated. This is what Moses said. God is saying the exact same thing here. There's nothing like having that supernatural encouragement from God that you're on the right track. And so that's the first thing we see here, again, in terms of the encouragement is that God encouraged Joshua. That's the first instance we see. Now, having been so greatly encouraged by God, what did Joshua do next? I'm glad you asked. Look at verses 10 and 11. It says he commanded the officers of the people, right? And he said, pass through the camp, command the people to prepare provisions for themselves. Within 3 days, we're going to go into the land, right? So he commands everyone to get ready, basically to cross the Jordan and enter the land. By the way, this technically is Joshua's first command to the people as their leader. But along with this command came an exhortation to enter the land. Notice how confident and how encouraging Joshua is here. You know, I mean, he's giving a command, but he's also really exhorting and encouraging the people. He didn't say, okay, guys, we're going to try to go in and possess the land, or we really hope that we're going to possess the land. No. That's not what he says here, right? Very clearly he says, within 3 days, you will cross over the Jordan and go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God is giving you, all right? There's a lot of certainty here. There's a lot of confidence here. In other words, Joshua's saying, hey, God's already guaranteed to give us this land, guys. I know, I was just with him. I was just talking to God about this. It's a guarantee we're going to get this land, and we are definitely going to walk in and take it from the Canaanites. It's going to happen. So Joshua was absolutely certain. And of course, he was so certain, we know, because the Lord had spoken to him. The Lord had confirmed his provision and his presence. God had spiritually encouraged Joshua so profoundly that now he could go out and spiritually encourage the people. And this is another cool thing for us to remember as well. You know, in terms of our encouragement of other people. I think sometimes we can hold back from spiritually encouraging other people. I was thinking about this earlier, and I was like, you know, it's almost sometimes I think for women, I don't know if it's just women, maybe everybody in general, but it's a lot easier to go and compliment somebody on their shoes or their shirt than it is to like have a spiritual word for somebody. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like easier to just be like, oh, you look cute today. I like your hair. Than to be like, you know, I just have a verse for you, or just, hey, I just want to, you know, encourage you, right? Sometimes we can hold back from something a little deeper, right? It's easy to do surfacey stuff. But sometimes, you know, we hold back from spiritually encouraging others, maybe because we're too shy or embarrassed to say something. Maybe we don't want to say the wrong thing, or we don't want to sound stupid, which is a lot of times what the case is, right? It's more about us than what, you know, than them. It's more about, I just don't want to sound like a dork. Or maybe because in my case, I think what happens is I get lazy. Sometimes I think of things like maybe to go encourage someone or something. And I'm like, I forget. I'm like, oh, you know, if you have a prompting like to text somebody something, just do it at that moment. I can't tell you how many times I've had that thought, like, you know, I should just text them that right now, or just let them know I'm praying even or something. And I'm like, oh, I'll do it later. And then I never get it back around to it. Right. Those kind of things. Right. We could just, unfortunately, miss out on an opportunity to spiritually encourage someone else. And we might, again, think of something to say or be prompted by the Holy Spirit to speak a word, but we fail to do so. And yet, I think, you know, if God is pouring into our lives, which I believe he is, and he's speaking to us and blessing and encouraging us, many times he wants us to pass that on to other people, to be a conduit of encouragement and exhortation to them. And I was thinking of 2 Corinthians 1:4, which is actually a verse on comfort. It's that passage where it says that God comforts us so that we can comfort others with the comfort with which we have been comforted, right? But I think we could actually stick the word encouragement in there, and I don't think God would mind, because I think this is a principle that that God would want to work in as well, that God encourages us so that we can encourage others with the encouragement with which we have been encouraged, right? God wants to do that work and use us, not just to comfort, but also to have encouraging words for others. And this is such a simple and a basic principle, and I'm sure it's something we've all thought about, but, you know, something practical that we can take to heart. And maybe this is the only thing you guys need to hear tonight. Maybe the Lord's put somebody on your heart, and right after the message tonight, you need to go and, you know, either call or text them, or just, you know, send a verse, whatever the case may be. Or maybe somebody in this room needs to hear that encouragement. That's the body of Christ, you know, in action. And that's us, you know, working as a body as we're supposed to. And that's what Joshua was doing here. God strengthened and encouraged him so that he could go out and confidently encourage and exhort the people. And you better believe these people needed to hear this, right? I mean, we're talking about a bunch of livestock herders who are the sons of slaves that are going to go and turn themselves into an army and go take over this nation. It's like, pfft, yeah, right, okay? Entering the promised land wasn't just a big step of faith for Joshua as their leader. It was a big step of faith for the people too. And they needed that encouragement as well, you know, from their leader. Like, if you've heard from God, we really would like to hear what that word is. That would be really great for us to hear as well. And we never know how far our encouragement may go in another person's life. So let's speak it out. You know, I think that's a good exhortation. I know it was for me. And it's cool because this literally happened to me last week. I was studying for this message. I was actually unsure where to go with this. I thought, you know, because part of me thinks like, oh, I just need to talk about verse 9 and only talk about, and I don't know what to share. But I kind of was thinking like, gosh, I feel like I just want to talk about encouragement, but I thought that was lame. So right when I'm sitting there studying and thinking about this, somebody walked into my office and they started sharing a story of how God was using the Joshua study. And they said, I don't know, it encouraged me. And so I just thought it would encourage you, Jasmine. And it totally did. And whether she realizes or not, she actually confirmed to me the direction that I should go for the message tonight. So again, you really never know what God's going to use to encourage and confirm something to somebody or to give somebody like clarity in a situation. You know, we really don't know. And so it's important that we be sensitive to the Spirit and to his leading as he's pouring into us, that we would, you know, give that back out to others. So as we move on, you know, I'm not really going to talk much about verses 12 through 15 here, but this is just where we see Joshua's second command addressed to the Reubenites, Gadites, the half tribe of Manasseh. Basically, Joshua's just reiterating to these guys a previous command the Lord had given regarding an arrangement they made in Numbers 32. And what happened in Numbers 32 was that, you know, in exchange for receiving the land on the near side of the Jordan as their allotment, these 2.5 tribes agreed that to cross over the Jordan with everybody else and help them fight to obtain their inheritance, then they would be allowed to go back to their families and possessions on the other side of the Jordan. Okay, so, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with that, and that whole story, how they agreed, like, okay, we'll go help you guys get your inheritance, then we'll go back to our inheritance. And so that's pretty much what's going on in verses 12 through 15. Joshua just was confirming this arrangement before they embarked on their conquest of Canaan. But that brings us to our third instance of encouragement here in verses 16 through 18, where the people encourage Joshua. So it's really cool. We're seeing a cycle of encouragement happen here, right? God encourages Joshua. Joshua encourages the people. And the people turn around and encourage him. It's just like, oh, we're fuzzies. We're all encouraging each other. It's just all sunshiny, right? So it's very nice. But that's kind of what the goal is as the body of Christ, right? We spend a lot of time criticizing each other and or complaining about things and tearing people down and stuff like that. And not in this group, of course, but I'm just saying generally, it's a lot easier to criticize. It's a lot easier to complain. It's a lot easier to look at faults and flaws and weaknesses. I do that, right? That's unfortunately, our natural human nature. But here we see just a cycle of encouragement happening and building each other up and the plans and purposes of God. And that is, I think, just such a beautiful picture of what we should be doing as the body of Christ. And so I love this because the response of these 2.5 tribes is so cool. And there's a couple neat aspects of encouragement to consider here, especially as far as, you know, concerning how we encourage leaders, like those in leadership over us. Notice first, it says in verse 16, they tell Joshua, all that you command us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. And I mean, gosh, you got to, if somebody comes up and says that to you as a leader, you're like stoked out of your mind. Like, really? You're on board? Awesome. Whatever you want or whatever I ask you to do, you'll just do it. I think one of the most encouraging things for any leader is willingness in the people that they're leading. Maybe the task is daunting. Maybe they don't always feel like it, but they're willing. They're willing to do what they're commanded, whatever they're asked to do. There's a willingness there. That's a huge encouragement for a leader. I remember that when I was the dean of women down at the Bible College in Murrieta. I had, we had a few hundred girls on campus, and I'd have, like, in each of the dorm rooms, we had, like, a dorm steward. That's, like, the spiritual way of saying an RA. All right, something, because it's Bible College, you have to use kind of a Christian term, right? So dorm stewards. And so they're over the rooms. You know, basically they oversaw the rooms, and they were, like, my girls, my leaders. And just, you know, every semester knowing that they had this attitude, this willingness, like, Jazz, whatever you need us to do, we're going to do it for you. That meant the world, just to know they had my back and that they were going to support whatever, you know, and walk willingly in what I asked them to do. That just makes all the difference. And I'm not even just thinking in spiritual terms. Many of you have bosses and you're out in the workplace. Being willing to do what your boss asks you to do. If it's a believer, then that's just a huge encouragement, and that's the proper response. If it's an unbeliever, what an amazing testimony that is, to always just be willing as an employee to serve. That's huge, you know? Willingness is powerful. And along with that, verse 17, these guys said to Joshua, just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. That's not exactly completely true. If you've read the book of Exodus, I don't know if they were heeding Moses and all things, but that might have been their parents, okay? This is the second generation. So maybe as kids, they were like, oh, we've heeded Moses. We don't, you know, whatever. Regardless of what, you know, if they were, you know, maybe conveniently forgetting some of the past here, the neat thing about this is that they were willing to support and even submit to Joshua. Moses was a great leader, but they weren't just going to pine for Moses and wish he was still there and sit around and compare Joshua to Moses all the time. They were going to be all in with Joshua and fully support him as their new leader. So along with willingness, we see support is a great way to encourage those that are in leadership. Again, super encouraging. And lastly, and probably the most important thing these guys did, is what we see at the end of verse 17 and verse 18. The end of verse 17 says, only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. And then verse 18 says, only be strong and of good courage. So they were encouraging Joshua, not just by being willing and being supportive, but they were also speaking spiritual truth. They were really speaking God's word back to Joshua, whether they realized it or not. This is what God had already spoken, and now they were repeating that. And this is probably the most powerful encouragement we can give to anyone, because it's based on something solid and eternal, the word of God, right? The character and nature and the word of God. That is the most solid encouragement we can give. And again, this is particularly interesting because as far as we know, and I don't know why, but I just thought this was really cool. These guys weren't around when God spoke to Joshua earlier. At the beginning of chapter 1, that was just Joshua and the Lord talking, I'm pretty sure. Because usually throughout, you know, if you're, when you're reading the Old Testament and it's God speaking things to Moses or to Joshua, they usually say, it'll usually say, and God spoke to Joshua and all the people. And God spoke to Moses and all the elders. Like, it's pretty clear. The fact that that's, you know, that we don't have anything like that says to me pretty clearly that this is just the Lord and Joshua talking. So these guys weren't around. God's speaking to Joshua. They're having their own private moment. And yet here they are, after Joshua comes and speaks to them, they repeat what God told them. So they didn't know that God had already said this to Joshua, but here they are repeating the same thing. And that must have so encouraged Joshua. I think that, you know, might have even been even more confirmation to him. Once again, that like, wow, God, you really are moving and speaking. I mean, it's one thing to hear from Moses, you know, that like, you know, the same thing that God had said, but to hear it from the people that you're going to lead into the land, it's like, oh, we really are all on the same page here. Again, there's a supernatural aspect to spiritual encouragement. And it's exciting to be a part of that in somebody's life, to have that opportunity in that moment to like speak and to find out like, wow, that's exactly what the Lord told you. That's awesome. So, you know, there's so much incredible encouragement for Joshua here as he's preparing to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And the Lord knew he would need it, not just in that moment, but also in the future, because Joshua now had several instances of God's word and promises that he could hang his hat on, basically, right? So that later, as he goes along, and we're going to continue to see in the book of Joshua, as he's faced with different challenges, with different hardships, confusing circumstances, he could always look back at the track record he had established with God here and be encouraged and confirmed afresh in his calling. And not only that, but he could turn around and encourage the people that he was leading as well. So that's just critical. It's so essential in our lives to have these moments, right, with the Lord of encouragement so we can look back on them. We're going to need those things. We're going to need those memorial stones, which is another chapter that we'll look at later on here in Joshua, to look back on and be reminded. And I was going to tell, I'm going to skip that story. So just, you know, just to wrap up here, again, it's a simple exhortation tonight, but I don't know about you, but I want to be a spiritual encourager like this. I want to be, you know, making sure I'm really dialed in, spending time with the Lord so I can be sensitive to the Spirit and he can use me in this way to build up and encourage others in their relationship with the Lord. You know, I was even thinking this just a few minutes ago. I was like, gosh, you know, I have, you know, people in my life who will like randomly text me a verse sometimes or something. It's just like, man, I really needed that. But sometimes I forget to go do that to others or even to turn around and do that for them. It's like, man, Lord, forgive me for just taking in and not giving out with what you've given to me. I want to be sensitive, you know, to that prompting of the Spirit. So if I'm praying and the Lord says, hey, this person really needs something right now. And you might not even know what that situation is, but just to heed those promptings, you know, and encourage others in their relationship with the Lord, in God's call on their lives, in his plans and his purposes for them. You might see something in somebody that they don't see in themselves. And the Lord's telling you to go and encourage them like, hey, man, you know, you really are gifted in this area. I just noticed this about you. And you never know what the Lord's going to use in somebody's life. So since we don't know what the results of our encouragement will be, let's be faithful to heed those promptings from the Holy Spirit, because he knows. He knows what each one needs. Again, it could be somebody in this room. It might be a family member or a friend. Let's be encouragers, because, man, there's enough discouragement out there. There's enough negativity. There's enough criticism and complaining out there. Let's flip it around, man, and let's be operating as the body of Christ, just as we see these people here, you know, God encouraging one who goes and encourages another, who responds by encouraging back, seeing that cycle of encouragement. Let's do that ourselves. So with that, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I do just pray, Lord, that you would speak to us even now, Lord, and even as we're going to have, I think, a little more worship and then go into our groups, Lord, just be putting things on our hearts and minds, Lord. Maybe there's somebody that we need to encourage, or maybe Lord, you want to pour into us tonight through our group time, Lord, so that we have something to offer to somebody else maybe tomorrow, God. We want to be sensitive to the leading of your Spirit, Lord, and to As you've encouraged us, as you are encouraging us, as we come to this study and we're being filled, as we spend time with you on our own in the morning, evening, throughout the day, God, as you're pouring into us, we want to turn around and be a conduit, Lord, of that encouragement to others, Lord. So would you please just use us in that way, God. Use us as your body, God, functioning together and every part doing what it's supposed to be doing, Lord Jesus. Thank you for these gals, Lord. Thank you for all you're doing in their lives, Lord, and what you want to do through their lives, God. Maybe something new and fresh even tonight. So we love you, Lord, and we commit the rest of our time to you and the group time as well, Lord. We just ask a special anointing on that, Lord, that you would just speak and move in each heart, in each life. In Jesus' name, amen.